Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
This good day, it is a gift from you. The world is turning in its place because you made it through. I lift my voice.
Here we go again. Another hour of conversation for you and yours on this good day.
Oh, I'll sing along. Jennifer Horn sings with me. She sings for supper. She sings in the shower. Sings on the Good Day program. It's irresistible listening to Jennifer here on Good Day. Rich McFadden at the controls in our studio in Washington. Kara Schillen taking your calls and working behind the scenes to make this the excellent program that I think that I can say with confidence, this is a good program. After all, why would I have been doing it for 28 years if it wasn't a good program? Food for thought. Okay, but every once in a while, you come across somebody who doesn't like what's going on. Jennifer got a six-page, I don't know how many pages she got.
Love letter.
Listener complaint. Yeah, well, then nobody complains about Jennifer. We never hear
complaints. Oh, the complaint was about her?
Well, it was about our discussion of gun control.
Oh.
And that always brings out the whack jobs. So here's another one. Jason.
But that's going to get you emails right there. So we
I don't care. Because they are whack jobs. Yeah. There are plenty of people that have legitimate points of view on both sides. They don't have to. You didn't see this the other day. I got one from somebody.
You talked about it yesterday.
Expletive. Yeah, exactly. So right. That makes no difference. Nobody's going to pay any attention to that. And that's who I'm talking about, Richie. So anyway, here's somebody that I kind of like what he's saying, even though I don't. I'm going to explain.
He didn't
why
drop any F-bombs on you?
No, there's nothing effing okay, in here.
And by the way, yeah. After page one, we pretty much tune out.
Yeah.
If you're just drilling us. You know, if you are just going to take 9 pages just to try and crush us, after page one, we laugh a little bit, and then it's in the trash can.
Then it's like excessive.
So if you're going to, if you're really going to take a shot at us, be succinct, you know.
You're a jerk.
Right.
Make it short.
Well, most of the shots, admittedly, are at me. I'm very surprised, Jennifer, anybody would take time to take
shot. And I'm not trying to toot my own Jennifer Horn.
Yes.
I think I've only gotten like 3 or 4, like, over, and I've been here 10 years, by the way.
Yeah. Right.
Which I think I get a watch or something, right, in March?
Yeah, you could get a watch.
I remember one of the ones I got, I actually made part of my profile bio description on Facebook.
Yeah. Perfect.
I loved it so much that I decided that this woman deserved a place on my my Facebook page, and she is the description of me on Facebook now.
All right, so let's see what you think about what this fellow writes. I've listened to you for some time and enjoy your show. However, you make quite a few statements without hard facts or statements. For example, you said something about racist officers and district attorneys putting blacks in jail and on death row without evidence. Where are your stats? This is a very irresponsible statement, and you should be ashamed of yourself. Don't just spout information that you have no evidence for. I've done research regarding police excessive force and injustice. I hold a BA in sociology and an MPA, so I have some credibility. Thank you. I will continue to listen to your program. That's very encouraging. Thank you, sir. Let me take this apart a little bit here and there. Not you apart, but what you're saying. My statements that were made on the radio program regarding, this is after the discussion, there's been a lot of discussion this week because the Supreme Court looking once again at the whole issue of the death penalty. And I have made it clear on the air, my opinion on this is that the death penalty really doesn't work. Is it to be used? Yeah. In some cases where it is absolutely, absolutely secure in the minds of the people who have gone through the system, that this person is guilty, where you've got them red-handed, where you've got video, or it's so obvious, you know, the whole business about this person allegedly did this, that, and the other thing. When you know you got them dead to rights. So in that circumstance, if you want vengeance, then, and that's really what the death penalty is about. It isn't a deterrent to anything. It's about vengeance. So you want to have the public says or the family says, I want this guy to pay, or this woman, whoever did this horrible, heinous offense, I want them to pay. Some people are satisfied with life in prison, whatever the circumstance, but some people want them to be dispatched. The fellow that we talked about on the program had been on death row for 37 years. There was a fellow let out of death row, I think, about 2-3 weeks ago. This black guy that had been on death row for 30 years got let out after he was exonerated. Now, that kind of stuff is what I'm talking about. But more to the point of my statement about racist officers and racist district attorneys who put blacks in jail and on death row without evidence. I think that the evidence is clear when you look at the statistics of how many blacks there are who are in jail for offenses, who have had trumped-up charges and evidence. There is a legion, and you can research that. You say you've got the information, you got this bachelor's degree in sociology. That's swell. But both of us can go very easily Google this kind of stuff. In the day and age that we live in, we can go look at the resources that are there. We can see how many people have been let off of death row or who have been exonerated. And I guarantee you, I am comfortable 100% at looking at the number of people who have been shown to not have done what they were convicted of. They will be black. More blacks go through that circumstance at the hands of white. And you can say, where are my stats? My stats are having done this radio program for as long as I have and discussed these things as much as I have and knowing in the back of my mind that there's a skew here. So, but I'm sure that if you did the work and did it in an unbiased fashion, that you would find that what I'm saying is correct. And I also take exception to those who say you're always criticizing the police. I am criticizing those who deserve criticism, in my opinion, no matter where it is, as I praise those who I believe to deserve praise. There are a lot of great police officers. One of my best friends is chief of police in a town in Connecticut. I've been a police chief in 4 different communities over his career. He is a model of what police chiefs ought to be like and what police work should be like because of his educational background and how he applied the science that he's learned. And you would never find anybody in his police department trying to come up, trump up the charges against somebody who's not innocent just because it was convenient or it was about the color of their skin. So anyway, that's my feeling about that. Happy to have all of your listener email. It's Doug@DougStefan.com, Rich@DougStefan.com, Jennifer@DougStefan.com, Facebook.com/Good Day, Twitter @Good Day. It's 14 past the hour on Good Day.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Why does a pat on the back feel so good? And why does an attaboy or an attagirl from the guy at the top make you feel like you're king of the world? Well, it's a chemical thing. Here's the science of it. When you're given a praise for a job well done, your brain is right there to make the reward even more meaningful. The perception of praise releases neurotransmitters, notably dihydroxyphenylalanine, the brain's reward chemical. With praise, it's activated, and when the praise is unexpected, the good feeling is magnified. What's the cheap psychological trick? There's no such thing as too much praise, no such thing as too many awards, and when people are surprised by your praise, the resulting good feeling can last for hours. Need more info? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think green.
Harrison with you. Good Morning America has exposed an unlikely story. The show sent a microbiologist to inspect 14 different clothing articles, all bought from 3 different high and low end chains throughout New York City, to see how clean new clothing really is. Several pieces of clothing tested positive for bacteria from feces and other human bodily secretions. Oddly, in women's jackets, they found human secretions in the armpits and buttocks. One blouse even contained vaginal organisms and yeast in addition to the fecal bacteria.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
The recipe for Big Success contains 5 ingredients, so let's blend up a shake.
First, we'll throw in T-I-M-E, time. The other ingredients all require it. Don't waste any because you can't get more until tomorrow.
Second, we'll toss in money. How much do you need? It's a matter of individual taste.
Blend money in slowly. It multiplies if you don't go too fast. It can shrink if you go full tilt. And if you don't have enough money, you can substitute time and vice versa.
Third, we need both work and play. You may love your work, but your life will have more flavor if you play too.
Fourth, let's add some growth. More growth helps everything mix faster, so add it liberally.
Now blend it all together for big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
16 after the hour, Doug Steffens Good Day program. Some interesting stats have come out of the Republican presidential primary in Des Moines. Our listener Troy Bishop, who lives in Des Moines, has done some work here. Pretty interesting, looking at the stats. A total of 12 people, Jennifer, voted for Jim Gilmore. I'm trying to remember who
More
Jim
than
Gilmore
voted for
is,
me.
Even. The former governor here.
Governor
in Virginia.
Of Virginia.
Yeah. Oh, in Virginia. Okay. That's
yeah.
Right.
And he was a nice guy. Not a bad guy, but just no status whatsoever here.
So the number of votes that turned out and what it costs, this is the interesting, intriguing
thing. This is what I think is fascinating.
Thing. Yeah, it really is. So
because
go through the numbers.
A lot of candidates spent a lot of money in Iowa, so you break that down on the Republican side with how many votes it got, and it gives you a cost per vote.
Right.
Jeb Bush paid $2,800 for each vote cast for him. He got over 5,000 votes. He paid a lot of money in the campaign, $14.9 million. So that comes out to be $2,800 a vote. Marco Rubio spent $273 per vote. Ted Cruz, who is the big winner, paid $116 per vote. And Donald Trump, who didn't spend much money at all in Iowa, actually did pretty well. He only spent $73 per vote. One of the interesting ones, I think the reason you saw Mike Huckabee drop out so quickly is he had paid $578 per vote in Iowa. So he spent a lot of money there and not a lot of return. On the Democratic side, they don't tally how many people actually vote for you, but the campaign spending for Hillary Clinton was $9.4 million and Bernie Sanders spent $7.4
million. Wow. But now let's just take this and apply it to this is the first vote. This is the first circumstance. This is the first example of how much money is going to be spent to get your vote. New Hampshire, I'm betting next week when we're up there, we're going to do the program from New Hampshire on Monday and Tuesday of next week. I'm going to bet that you're going to find the same kind of dough as being spent up there. Where does this money come from? Don't you ask yourself that? Don't you?
Oh, this article tells you. Marco Rubio's money came from super PACs, Ted Cruz from outside groups, Donald Trump, his own campaign money, and Jeb Bush from super PACs. So it does tell you that. And I think in New Hampshire, you're going to see maybe less spent by some candidates, more by Kasich, more by Christie. They're dumping a lot of money in New Hampshire.
But now let's play this out, Jennifer, over the course of the next, 8 months? Until the election in February. Matter of fact, I think it's 8 months from, 8 months from now. So we have this much money being spent the first couple of primaries. We get Super Tuesday, the first Tuesday in March. You got all these other things. After that, people will stop spending money.
Yeah, it tapers off because you need to make a strong showing at the beginning. If Ted Cruz had lost Iowa, he would have been done. If Donald Trump loses New Hampshire, it's my opinion that he's going to be done. Donald Trump will win, I think, the nomination if he can win New Hampshire because it shows that people will actually go in and vote for him.
Well, he didn't do badly in Iowa.
No, he didn't. He did great in Iowa. In fact, I think it was a win for him in most respects to come in second, to not spend that much money and to not have any real organization. I mean, in half of the caucus points, he didn't even have someone in there defending him or, stumping for Trump. So, I think it was not a loss for him, but definitely he needs to win in New Hampshire. And then you start to see all these other guys start to drop out.
21 after on Good Day.